Welcome back to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, and with me today is my partner and my special guest, John Frieden. Welcome, John.
Thanks, Wayne.
Thanks for being on the show. John is a principal in Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman's litigation practice group, where he tries and argues appeals in a variety of complex commercial disputes and criminal matters. He also counsels e-commerce businesses in a variety of industries and has a blog at www.ecommercelaw.typepad.com. Which is regularly updated with news, trends, and legal issues affecting e-commerce businesses. John has appeared on NBC, CBS, Fox, WTOP. He's been quoted in the Washington Post, Washington Times, and other newspapers across the U.S., and he's been named among Virginia's legal elite, according to Virginia Business Magazine, three times. So it's a pleasure to have you on the show, John. Today, I think we're going to be talking about internet privacy, aren't we?
That's right.
Why is it so important?
Well, Wayne, you know, several weeks back, we talked a little bit about social networking. We talked about just the number of Americans who are using the internet as part of their daily lives. And it's about 240 million Americans. And one of the...
Wow, that's a lot.
It's a lot of people. And if you think about the types of things we do online, Wayne, shopping,
right.
Banking, using social media. I mean, 75% of those 240 million Americans that use the internet use it for shopping. 55% of those 240 million Americans use it for banking. And if you think about the type of information you reveal to a business when you make a purchase or interact in a banking transaction, that's information you wouldn't share with everyone.
Credit card information.
Social security numbers.
Social security numbers.
A lot of stuff that you wouldn't want everyone to have.
Okay.
And because we reveal that type of information, the names, addresses, telephone numbers, dates of birth, credit card numbers, and other what is referred to in the legal profession among people who do this sort of work is personally identifying information, or PII,
mm-hmm.
In these transactions that if essentially offered to the community at large could potentially cause us harm in the nature of identity theft or other consequences. That's why privacy is important.
So what is internet privacy? What is it concern versus security? How would you distinguish between the two?
Well, those are two concepts that are often, I think, that often overlap and are often confused. When we talk about internet privacy, we talk about the right of an individual to control what information he or she reveals about him or herself online,
okay.
Who can access that information, and how the information can be used and shared.
All right.
When we talk about internet security, we're talking about the way that information, which includes but isn't exclusively personally identifiable information,
mm-hmm.
is protected against unauthorized access, use, disclosure, loss, or destruction. So it's a related concept, but internet privacy is its own, I think, area.
Security is the wall that is erected by the website operator or host that prevents people from improperly gaining access to your secret information, I think is another way of describing it, perhaps?
That's a great way to describe it.
There are various protections that are afforded under federal law. I know we've got the Federal Trade Commission. We've got some federal statutes that have been in effect for a while now, protecting particularly children. And then we've got something called the Electronic Communications Privacy Act. What is the FTC, or the Federal Federal Trade Commission, have authority over, and what can it regulate and what can't it regulate?
Well, I think what surprises most people, Wayne, is, at least for an adult, the amount of protection provided by the federal government in terms of internet privacy is very small, particularly when one compares it to European nations. The European Union has a directive on internet privacy that they enacted in 1995. And if you think about—
That's a long time ago.
In internet years, it's a millennia ago.
It was before the internet was even really being used heavily.
You know, Wayne, I'm primarily an e-commerce lawyer.
Right.
I use the internet every day in my business.
Sure.
Most of my clients make their money on the internet. In 1995, I don't think I even had an internet or an email address. That's how long ago it was.
And you're just a young guy. I actually had an email address. Nobody used it, but, you know.
Well, I was still in law school at the time. But so we're very different from the European nations that have recognized privacy as a fundamental right and have recognized the fact that the internet provides a great many advantages and a couple disadvantages. One of those is the ability to accidentally provide information to folks that you don't intend to.
Right.
But the federal government And most of the enforcement mechanism, at least through the federal government, is through the Federal Trade Commission.
Okay.
The Federal Trade Commission Act, Section 5, prohibits unfair or deceptive acts or practices in the marketplace.
Which is a pretty broad statement.
And it's good that it's broad because that's how they've piggybacked into the area of internet privacy.
Okay.
And pursuant to that statute, the Federal Trade Commission has the power to establish rules for the protection of information collected online.
All right.
Now, rather than put out or issue privacy rules, the FTC has largely, to this point, subscribed to a policy of self-regulation, except for certain industries. And those industries include financial services,
right,
healthcare providers, and then businesses that target children in particular.
Well, that's natural. That's naturally erected protections because financial services is obviously all your economic information, your banking information, healthcare is your personal medical information, which is highly should be protected at least, and children are, you know, obviously a protected class. So rather than put out these rules, they have this issue of self-regulation. So how does the FTC enforce any of these rules?
Well, they subscribe to certain hallmarks of self-regulation, and that's notice, choice, access, and security, with the greatest emphasis being placed on notice. The FTC essentially seeks to ensure that businesses who post privacy policies on their websites communicate properly to consumers or individuals using those sites what information is being collected and how that information is being used.
What if you don't put a privacy? What if you don't have a privacy policy?
If you don't have a privacy policy on your website, when you don't come, essentially, you're not subject. The easiest way to think about it is you're not subject to the FTC's jurisdiction.
Holy moly!
So, in many instances, and we can talk how state law applies in a little bit about
sure.
how it may modify that. But if you were to open a website, if you were to come to me and say, John, I know you do this sort of work. I'm looking to start a website. It's a dating site or social networking site
okay.
only for Virginia residents.
Mm-hmm.
And I will not be permitting residents of other states to use
join.
The site.
Okay.
I would tell you not to have a privacy policy because Virginia doesn't have a statute that requires a privacy policy. It doesn't have a statute that requires certain conduct or certain standards in handling your information.
Okay.
And if you had a privacy policy, you would be held to the standards established by the FTC. And if you don't have one, you're not.
So in some cases, it may be better not to have a privacy policy. Of course, most people don't want to just limit their website to a local jurisdiction that might not have any kind of regulatory power over you with regard to internet privacy. They want to go after clients on a nationwide basis. And then what happens?
Well, and that's true. And I've never had any client come to my office and say they only wanted to, you know, sell to Virginia or Maryland or DC residents. The whole point of selling online is the ability to reach those 240 million Americans using the internet and potentially
right.
sell your product or services to them. Now, when you are in a situation where you're selling to people all across, let's limit it just to the United States for this portion of the discussion, but if you're selling to people all across the United States, then you also are subject, in most instances, to state law on the subject.
Okay.
And in particular, California has been a leader in establishing privacy standards for web businesses that sell goods or services to California residents.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in a situation where you could be selling whatever you sell online,
goods or services,
mm-hmm. whatever it is, to a California resident, you have to comply with California's law. California's law requires that you have a privacy policy.
Okay.
They require that it be easily noticeable by your consumers.
So it has to be conspicuous on the website?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It has to be linked to on every page of the website. It has to appear.
Every page?
Every page of the
okay.
website. There are certain, and these have changed a couple times, but there are certain text and formatting requirements. You can't sort of hide it in fine print.
Make it really small and unreadable, right?
You can't do that.
Okay.
You have to tell your customers what information you're collecting,
mm-hmm.
how that information is being used, and with whom you will share that information. And when you change the terms of your privacy policy, you have to go back and inform your customer base of the changes and give them the opportunity to opt out of the new agreement.
Ah, that sounds similar to what Europe does, isn't it? Isn't that very similar?
It's very similar to the laws that were enacted after the EU's Directive on Internet Privacy in 1995. And it is, I think, a common sense approach. And in many ways, it sounds similar to the focus of the FTC in providing notice to consumers so that they can make an educated buying decision with respect to the internet businesses with whom they interact.
Right. In other words, if you are selling goods or services and they may wind up with customers or consumers who are based in California, you have to provide this special privacy policy and you have to comply with the California statute. You've got to notify the consumers of the existence of this privacy policy, and you've got to give them the opportunity to opt out of the website and not provide the information that you're asking for if you later ultimately change that policy or anything associated with that, it sounds like.
Absolutely.
Wow, that's pretty pervasive. So virtually any website that's offering goods or services that might reach a California resident has to do this.
And remember, when there's...
Is California the only state that does this?
They're not the only state that does this. There are probably a dozen states that have some statute that touches this issue. California's is the leader in this area. Mm-hmm. California's, in many respects, is the most restrictive. I keep up on this law as it develops. But for the most part, if you comply with California law, you're not going to run afoul of any other state's law.
Now, we were talking about California state law, and we were talking about the Federal Trade Commission. What about there's the Child Protection Act, COPPA or COPA, that regulates any kind of sales or providing content to children? How does that play into this?
Well, sure, and we talked a little bit before about the industries that were excluded from the general concept of self-regulation, and one of those industries is those websites that tailor their products or services to children. And the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act was enacted in 1998.
Okay.
And it was the first federal law which imposed any sort of substantial privacy obligations on website operators. And it was enacted as a result of an FTC report which described widespread abuses amongst operators of websites targeting children in the collection and use of their personally identifying information.
Okay.
And what they found were website operators who had access to children by virtue of providing content that children would be interested in.
Okay.
Who were obtaining private information or personal information from these children without parental consent. And they obtain that information in order to market to the children and the parents without the parents' knowledge or approval. It was enacted in order to give parents some control over what type of information is collected from their children,
right,
and how that information is online. Following the enactment of the statute, the FTC issued the Children's Online Privacy Protection Rule, which became effective in 2000. So with respect to children, privacy concerns on a federal level are enforced as a result of enforcement of COPPA and also the Children's Online Privacy Protection Rule of the FTC.
So what does an operator have to do to comply with this COPPA rule, the Children's Online Privacy Protection Rule?
Well, any operator who directs of a commercial website or an online service that directs their services to children under the age of 13 years mm-hmm. must post a privacy policy on the homepage of the website and link to it on every page where personal information is collected.
Okay.
That operator must provide notice about the site's information collection practices to parents and obtain parental consent before collecting personal information from children.
But how will they know that they're obtaining the parental consent? How will they ever know that?
There's a verification. They have to have verified parental consent. There's a lot of different ways to do it.
Sure, absolutely.
It used to be many years ago at the sort of the nascent stage of the internet, it used to be that they would ask for a credit card number even though the site didn't require a payment, because under the assumption that children couldn't get credit cards. But they have mm-hmm. other ways now to verify parental consent. But they have to show that they have a verified parental consent before collecting information.
And then the parents have to be able to decide whether or not they're going to allow the child to disclose that information, I imagine.
Absolutely. Then you get into that choice concept that we talked about earlier, that the statute and the rule require parents to be given a choice as to whether their child's personal information will be disclosed to third parties.
Yeah, because my kids are on the internet all the time playing internet games and all kinds of stuff, and there's nothing that we can do to stop that. Well, you know, we're running short of time. John, if people want to get in touch with you to talk to you about internet privacy policies, what they should do as a business on their website, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, the two best ways, Wayne, are my blog, www.ecommercelaw.typepad, that's typepad.com. or by telephone at 703-218-2125.
Excellent. And thanks for being a special guest on Blueprint for Wealth.
Thanks again, Wayne, for having me.
Make sure you have an internet privacy policy if you're a business conducting business anywhere on the internet. It's good advice. And check with John if you have any questions.